Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. About. You
gotta put it in perspective. See? You feel it? You feel it? It's on to the break of dawn.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy.
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
You can never see what happiness I have in me. It's like I'm eating ice cream, watching a movie with Alex and my family, every family, and it's like all together watching a movie, eating popcorn and ice cream with Alex and everybody, even my friends, watching a movie in the movie theater. That's what I feel right now.
Be the kid.
I'll tell you what, it's Tuesday and I'm saying ram it.
And now, one team, one dream, our feature presentation.
Why did I ever say that?
I felt it.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday morning, the 4th of September.
Hey, Kofefi, how you feeling?
Kofefi.
Why would you think you knew what
I'm going to have to explain that.
I'm good. You're the one who watches the news or doesn't watch the news?
I don't.
I don't watch the news.
That's right.
Because I'm a kid.
Right.
A long, long, long time ago.
Well, this is starting great.
President Trump tweeted out,
oh,
Kofefi.
Right. In the middle of the night. Got it.
Right.
And nobody had any idea what the hell he was talking about.
Got it.
And then the best part about it is then Sean Spicer, who was his press secretary at the time, gets up on the podium and says, people who need to know what it means.
I love that.
Which was so great because it didn't mean anything. So that's what I was thinking about all weekend. I was thinking, how's Kevin really doing, though? He's going to say he's fine, but how's he really doing? You all right?
I'm good.
Have a good weekend?
Fantastic.
Yeah?
Never better.
Even with all that radion derf?
I mean, because of.
We just can't wait to get
specifically
into it.
Specifically because of.
I know all we right. need to save it. I
okay,
know we,
save it. Sorry.
It's hard, though. It's so hard because it's all we've been thinking about the whole weekend long is, is radion derf dangerous? Is it something we need to move away from? Do we need to change the laws in California? What's going on? What about the children? Are the children in danger from radion derf?
Always the children.
Always the children. Allie, how was your weekend? You had visitors.
It was great. Yeah, I had a visitor until Sunday morning and then had a great brunch on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then I just did nothing yesterday.
That free day is pretty sweet.
It's the best.
Yeah.
Dude, we should get one of those every week.
We should look into that.
Just let's work Tuesday to Friday.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Everybody gets Monday off.
Yeah.
I like
all right.
It.
All right.
It Done. Has been decided.
Okay, good.
Although, I don't think anyone would even notice that that we work for.
Oh,
haven't listened to the show
true.
In years. They couldn't tell if we were here or not.
That's very true.
Well, we do have a great show today with two great guests to get to. But let me start with this story because I find this fascinating. I think I know where you guys are going to come down on this one. But this is a story out of, let's just say Canada. There's a place called Osoyoos is probably not how it's pronounced, but let's find out what the controversy is that led to a young woman losing her job.
Degraded, I'm just waiting for my right to vote to be taken away.
Yesterday, Christina Shell was a waitress at the Osoyoos Golf Club restaurant. Today, she's filing a human rights complaint.
I never thought I'd have to face this.
What do you think the human rights complaint is about? What did they ask her to do or not do at work that led her to the standoff where she got fired?
It was a restaurant?
It was a restaurant. She was a waitress at a restaurant at a fancy golf resort place.
Wow. Human rights.
Human rights. Let's find out.
And angry more than anything.
The 25-year-old started her serving position just 3 weeks ago. She says she does not wear a bra for health reasons. Shell's braless appearance in this uniform prompted complaints from customers.
Okay, so they fired her because she refused to put on a bra. She says, as you'll hear later in the piece, that you shouldn't be allowed to regulate undergarments. Now, it seems to me like there are a lot of jobs where you have uniforms where pretty much everybody kind of has to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
You have to follow the rules of the company, whatever they are.
Got to follow the rules. I want to ask you, Allie, because I didn't look this up, but I thought maybe you would know. What kind of health reasons would there be for a woman to not wear a bra?
I don't know. The only thing I can think of when women that have very large bosombas, it could be digging into their skin because they're so heavy. Mm-hmm. But in which case, I would think you wouldn't want them flopping all over the place, would you?
Seems like the correct bra would be helpful.
Is that a description of her being?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Oh. Not at all. No, she's a small-chested woman, and maybe she's just uncomfortable, and maybe she just doesn't even, you know, doesn't want to go through the hassle of putting it on because it doesn't make any difference to her. But you know how people flip the F out if they see the hint of a nipple through a shirt?
Good God.
I mean, it is the end of the world. Let's hear some more.
She claims management then attempted to have all employees sign this dress code agreement, which includes...
Women must wear either a tank top or bra under their uniform shirt.
She refused to sign it.
I don't think any other human being should be able to dictate another person's undergarments.
Shell says she feels like she was forced out of the job for refusing to comply with what she views as a sexist dress code.
I will tell you that I have some sympathy to her position, because although I do think I would sign with the restaurant on this one, because I do think if the uniform includes a hat, you got to wear a hat. If it includes, you know, dress shoes, you got to wear dress shoes. I get that. But on the other hand, I think it's crazy that she's a small-breasted woman who didn't look bad. You just could see some nipple. That's it.
I have to do some research. I don't.
Yeah.
I can't rule without
want,
some extensive research.
Yes. Maybe leave the room.
I need about an hour and a half.
Oh,
I'm hoping that there will be mass protests in Christina Schell's honor is what I'm hoping. I'm hoping they'll be marching in the streets, braless women. But what I'm saying is I do think this points to the bigger problem, which is that people need to relax a little bit about boobs.
Let me ask you a question, Bean.
Yes.
Because you are obviously being very kind to this woman. She shouldn't wear a bra. If she had huge boobs that were hanging down to her waistline.
Right.
Would you say the same thing, or are you just thinking, oh, pretty erect, taut little nips?
No, I think what I'm saying is it's the public's fascination with how a woman chooses to what she chooses to wear and how she chooses to be comfortable. But I don't think it's any of my business whether she wears a bra or not. I think that's what I'm saying. No matter what the size of her breasts are, I don't think she's put. I don't think she's in that restaurant to make me enjoy looking at her. Mm-hmm. She's there to be a server, and if she's a good waitress, let her be a good waitress.
Plus, she'll let you know if it's chilly or not.
Right? Well, heads up.
All right, a little bit more. Let's find out what happens next.
If you do not sign this, I cannot continue to go forward. And I said, what does that mean? Does that mean you are amending this agreement or not? And he said, no, I'm not. And got up, and I was without a job.
General Manager Doug Robb declined our request for an on-camera interview, but says via email that he's not at liberty to discuss confidential employee matters.
So like I said, I'm kind of two minds of it. I don't think we should care what she wears, but I do think the business kind of has a right to determine what people wear. So I can kind of see both sides of this, to tell you the truth.
Boobs are weird, right?
Right.
Dudes get so weird about boobs.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, and then I just started thinking about, I mean, I guess businesses can, you know, if they say you can't have a nose ring, I guess you can't have a nose ring. But that doesn't affect your ability to be a server either. They can dictate what kind of hairstyles you have. I mean, there's a lot of things when you go to work for somebody. I mean, you kind of are signing up to work for the man, you know. And I don't know that it's always fair, but I guess that is kind of the way it is. But I hope Nike signs her to a big ad campaign. I'll tell you that. And then women all over America can burn their bras.
USA!
Right?
USA! USA! USA!
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
The last thing we need to do is to monkey this up.
Danny Elfman.
Yes!
In studio, talking about Nightmare Before Christmas at the Hollywood Bowl.
Couldn't love him more.
Which is fantastic. I've seen it, and it's awesome. So much fun. Weird phobias on today's show.
Mm-hmm.
What started this?
That weird holy thing. The thing with all the holes that freaked people out. Remember, we talked about that?
Holy thing.
The Pope?
No.
Oh.
But he is freaking a lot of people out.
Yeah. It's a weird holy thing.
The thing, we talked about it, the holes, and people are like, meh.
Okay. We'll get back to that.
Okay.
Apparently, Kevin, tripophobia, I think is what it's called, was trending on Friday for some reason.
Okay.
And people were getting into a discussion about people who are afraid of holes.
Well, that was an exciting day. Allie, dream interpreter?
Sure.
Yes. On the program today?
It's been a while.
Great news. Mm-hmm. It's not Monday, but we were off yesterday, so we do it the first day of every week. What's Up with Florida's on the program today, and Kurt Sutter joins us at the 7 o'clock hour in studio talking Mayans MC, which debuts tonight. That's coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Kevin, we're going to need you to take a break from Las Vegas for a while.
Why?
Well,
it's all going well for me.
After this weekend, I think it's time for you to stay close to home and rest up.
Everything's great.
A little bit. We'll discuss that coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Allie's here with our first look at what's happening.
For the second time since 1989, U2 had to cancel a concert partway through.
Oh, they're so unreliable.
Did you say the second time since 89?
1989.
That's amazing.
You can't trust them. You can't trust them. They're just all willy-nilly canceling.
If it's 50-50, they're going to even show up.
You don't
even
know. They're
practically Morrissey.
And it's even worse. Like, you get a song in, you're like, he's here, this is awesome. And then, boom.
Peace out.
Peace out. Yeah, here's what happened. His voice started failing. He made it about 20 minutes into a Berlin show on Saturday night, and then Bono stopped to address the audience and said, I can promise you I haven't been smoking, but apparently the smoke machines in the arena, he said, were like a giant cigar. I've lost my voice, and I don't know what to do. It was singing like a bird about 10 minutes ago. So they asked for the machines to be shut down, the AC to be turned up. And then he struggled on the next song. He left the stage, and then the band canceled 40 minutes later.
How weird.
How mad is that venue? Like, why'd we do the smoke machines? Yeah, not good.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he said in a statement on Sunday that his doctor had ruled out anything serious and promised that he'd be back in full voice, and then that show was rescheduled for November 13th.
There was no lead up, there was no sickness, there was no anything. It was working and then just not working.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a testy voice, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, he and the whole band said that he was singing like a bird 10 minutes before, so it just came out of nowhere. Such
very
a surprise.
Odd. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And you know that killed him, too.
Of course.
My God. Of all bands to have to say, listen, we'll be back. So you look forward to seeing U2 probably more than most bands.
Yeah.
And then you finally get there.
It's really hard for me to believe it's only the second time since 89, though. As much as
89.
They've toured.
Yes.
You would think they would get sick or something when they had to cancel.
Has that ever happened to you guys where you got to the, you got to the venue and then they just came out on stage and said, oh, sorry, the band's not going to be able to go on. You're already there.
Yes.
I think so.
It happened to me one time.
Same.
Who was yours, Kevin?
Prince.
Oh, yeah.
Dick.
Mine was Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, no.
In a big venue and, sold out. And we waited and waited and waited. And the show was like 40 minutes late or something like that. And then the little guy said, I guess somebody drew the short straw, got sent out on stage to announce to the crowd, I'm sorry, the band's not going to be able to perform tonight. I don't remember who was sick. But they canceled it and, offered a refund for another, reschedule for another time. But, yeah, that's a bummer.
That is a bummer.
Who do you think it was, though?
I can't imagine. I was going to say Stevie.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'd never say Stevie.
Really?
Mm-mm. No. That guitar
you can't
player.
Really tell if her voice is shot or not. So
that's true. Oh, I love her so much. So you guys probably saw this over the weekend. People were up in arms about an article that was put out by Fox News. They also did a whole story on it. The actor Jeffrey Owens, you may not remember that name, but he played the character Elvin on The Cosby Show, so he was the one married to the oldest sister.
Oh, okay. I didn't have any idea all weekend who it was.
Right. You would know him for that, and then he's been in a ton of stuff since then, but that's probably what he's most known for. He was on The Cosby Show for 5 seasons. Well, he is what most actors are. A working actor that doesn't have a full-time gig. He's not on a sitcom, doesn't have a reoccurring role. So he has to get other work. And he was photographed in New Jersey at a Trader Joe's by someone that recognized him. I guess they sold the story to Fox News.
Oh, he was working there?
Yeah, Fox News sold it and basically almost shaming him for having a job. Like, ooh, look at this elite having a job bagging groceries. It was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
That's odd.
And then, of course, anyone with any sort of brain came to his defense and was saying, oh, you mean a guy that was on a hit show in the 80s into early 90s? Doesn't have a ton of money, especially when I believe, wasn't that show pulled? So he's he might not be getting any residuals anymore.
True. Yep, it's not airing anywhere anymore.
And people were talking about actors that we know. We're talking about they've had to get jobs in between hugely successful sitcoms. That's just what you do.
Yeah, it's admirable.
Yes.
Well, I think, you have to have money to live, you know, to pay your rent and buy groceries. But isn't the stat something like 89% or 90% or something very close to that of people in the Screen Actors Guild do not make more than $10,000 a year or something? I mean, it's
isn't that
the
crazy?
Overwhelming percentage of actors cannot live on it full time.
Yeah. Right. It was a very odd thing. Yes.
It was.
Ugly to take his picture and then to sell it to somebody that would then do it. But then again, we're doing the same thing right now. Because then I started thinking, look at all these think pieces about how bad it is. And now his name is out there even more. But
is he going to get a job? Is somebody going to hire him?
I think he will. Like, he has been working up until just a little while ago. He has roles on all different shows. But I wonder if he's going to get something amazing.
That would be great.
Yeah. He was just in a 2017 episode of Lucifer. He's been on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That's So Raven. What? Used to love that show. Just saying, all very, very odd. But it was interesting to see people come to his defense. I'll look up some of the ones in a bit that were saying, listen, I worked at a cosmetics counter. I loved it. I had to work, and I enjoy working. It keeps you sane.
And someone else pointed out that, I don't know, maybe there's somebody else affiliated with the Cosby Show that you could go after instead.
Right?
No one more high profile than this guy, though.
I did enjoy people saying, okay, so let me get this straight, Fox News. You hate black men that don't have a job. Now you hate a black man that does have a job. You are very, very confusing. Good Lord. Hey, want to talk about some birthdays?
Sure.
Okay. How about James Bay? Dr. Drew. Max Greenfield. Yay! Oh.
Kids love Dr. Drew.
They okay. Do. I wasn't
79.
Sure.
79.
I don't.
Yeah. Really? 79 years old.
Wow. Looks great. Whitney Cummings, Damon Wayans, and Beyonce. And that's what's happening.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Look.
Mm-hmm.
Look. Look.
Yes, right? Kevin.
In my defense.
Uh-huh. Kevin, God damn it.
It makes no sense.
All right.
That's my defense.
Let me just say this. We all enjoyed the long weekend, those of us that were lucky enough to have that extra day off, the 3 days. It was nice. I couldn't wait to come back to work today to tackle the mystery of Radion Derf. Now, Radion Derf has consumed my life since I first saw it yesterday morning, and most people have no idea what I'm talking about.
Right.
So let me set the stage here. So for some reason on Twitter, Kevin follows or at least came across a tweet from BBC Radio 6. Now, already there's a mystery going on there.
Right.
Because in a million years, Kevin, why are you following BBC Radio 6 music?
I don't know. At this point, I'm sure I thought way back when I started following them that it was music and whatever. But okay. I looked at this BBC Radio tweet, and I don't even understand it to begin with.
Well, what they're saying is that Christine and the Queens, very popular British band, is going to be making an appearance on the radio station, be performing live on the radio station.
Right.
And then the follow-up, the rest of that tweet is tune in to hear it live during the morning show, or it'll be on demand for 30 days afterwards, just like we do with the HD Radio Soundspace. That's all the tweet is saying. Right, it's your opportunity to hear Christine and the Queens.
But I'm saying, I don't know Christine and the Queens.
Tilted, great song.
Yeah. Great song.
Yeah. And so...
Oh, okay. Why? So you're not saying you didn't understand the tweet. You're not saying you don't know why you would have responded to it.
Yes, why would I respond to something that I don't even understand?
Mm-hmm. Right. No interest in that subject.
Right.
Okay.
So, Kevin...
Why would I hit reply?
So, Kevin, and by the way, I should also mention, because this is an important part of the story, I think it was 6 a.m. on Labor Day?
6:17 a.m.
6:17 on a holiday.
Yeah.
Now, Kevin, I know you have some wacky sleeping habits.
I do. I have problem sleeping.
I was surprised to find you up, if you were,
same.
At 6:17 on a holiday.
Okay? Same.
So Kevin tweeted these words, and I put words in quotes. Radeon, R-A-D-E-O-N, DERF, D-R-R-R-F, then. And then there's a symbol that I had to look up because it's not in the English language.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a letter.
I don't know how to
German,
make that letter.
I don't know how to do it either. It looks like a B, but it's a letter from the German alphabet only.
Sure.
X at D-X-T-T-F-T. Z Z Z Z Z Z Z Z Z X X X X X X X X X X X X X X X X X D K number sign O.
Right?
Lot to unpack there.
Right.
So Radeon DERF, Kevin tweets back to BBC Radio 6, who, by the way, are probably having this exact same conversation on their air right now, going, what do you think this guy was talking about?
We put out a tweet the other morning, and this guy responded. It doesn't make any sense. What's Radeon DERF?
So the listeners, by the way, we're going to try to guess how this happened, and then maybe hear the real story if Kevin knows. But let me tell you about some of the reaction to Kevin's tweet. Some of your followers took the words right out of my mouth. Oh, Kevin, please keep being you. Somebody wrote, obviously. Somebody wrote, a miracle or a treasure?
Some would say both.
I love Kevin. I was late to Team Kevin, but I just think he's the best. There was a lot of hashtag KevDog, a lot of Hall of Fame, a lot of goddamn it, Kevin, put the pipe down.
Yeah.
So then Allie weighs in with, I thought, a great tweet, which was, my first apartment had Radeon DERF. We had to move out for a week.
Yeah, it was a very upsetting time.
So now it's turned into a thing. So now we know Radeon DERF is a thing. I wrote, that's no joking matter. My aunt almost died of Radeon DERF. The doctors were lucky to catch it in time. Jensen Karp writes in, Radeon DERF also played wide receiver for the 2009 Cincinnati Bengals. So let's give Kevin the benefit of the doubt for now. Allie, I'll keep an open mind for now, but I can't stop thinking about all the lives changed by RD. This is not how I wanted to start the holiday.
Oh, it's now shortened.
All right. There's soon going to be benefits for RD. He has no idea, Allie continues. He has no idea the wounds he's opened up with such a vile tweet. God damn it, Kevin.
Vile.
Eduardo writes in, RD, I get the seriousness of RD, but let's take a moment to acknowledge the German symbol, X at DXTTFTZZ. It goes on and on and on. We can't ignore such an important issue. Thank you, Kevin, for bringing it to life. Then there's a lot of, I saw Radeon DERF at the Troub.
Mm-hmm.
Then my wife weighs in. My wife is never on Twitter. She writes in, Bean and I had a baby after exposure to Radeon DERF, and he was born with tentacles, but he's super helpful at opening jars, though.
What's happening?
It just goes on and on and on about your President Trump-like Covfefe moment. So we were all, like, speculating in our own minds, Kevin, how this possibly could have happened. And I feel like we need an explanation.
So you're saying...
Dogs.
So you're saying what happened when I sent this tweet.
Right.
All right. Well, so in my timeline of, was this yesterday?
Yes.
Yes. In my timeline of yesterday, it was 4:30 in the afternoon or something like that by the time I checked Twitter and or Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So I have no idea what this is, that it's out there, that people responded to it, nothing.
All of a sudden, you go to your social media and you have like 200 comments.
No,
and
I didn't
you're
even
like,
go to Twitter
happening?
First. I went to Instagram first, and I saw the Kevin and Bean account had posted this tweet for me. And I was like, I didn't write that. So then I went to my account, and I looked at stuff that I posted, not thinking to look at replies. And I thought, well, they must have grabbed an old one or something from a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. It's sad that I just assumed it was another one of these from another year.
Right.
But I still, at that point, had no idea that I did this yesterday.
Radeon DERF.
But here's my question for you. It's not
Radeon DERF.
It's not like Twitter. I don't have any memory of this is the answer. None. So it's not like Twitter is a loaded gun where if you roll over on it wrong, it just shoots.
Yeah.
Right.
You have to hit a specific thing to post something on Twitter. So even if I'm accidentally laying on mm-hmm. my phone or text or typing stuff that makes no sense, mm-hmm. you still have to hit the send button.
It can't post itself.
Right.
It's not like you can. You woke up because you thought it was workday. Check Twitter. Send. And
why?
Just, I don't know. But, you know.
But it was in response to this BBC tweet that I didn't understand.
Because that was the first tweet that was up on your timeline.
Why would I ever hit reply?
Who knows?
And whose reaction if they wake up and they think they're late for work is to text somebody?
I don't think it was texting. I think he was just checking his phone and trying to turn off the alarm or something and just hit
All of these letters, including a German B that I have no idea how to make.
Shift and Alt 5 or whatever it takes to do this.
Also, you were real late if your alarm was going off at 6:17.
I didn't. Well, you know, just like you wake up.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just don't know and you try to play with your phone.
Okay, that's very possible. Yeah. I have no memory of being up at 6:17. I didn't realize I was up at 6:17.
That's weird. That is weird.
So when I got this, then I went. And this is going to, you're going to laugh at this. I thought, oh, Jesus, I did. Somebody has my passcode, so I changed it quickly.
Sure.
Right?
Because they would tweet that gem.
It was just a first reaction. I changed my password, and then I thought, just like Allie did, who would get access to my Twitter and then put that up? Radeon Durf.
Well, like, that's a message pretending they to be need you, to get out.
Big Radeon Durf.
Right?
Definitely pretending to be you, though. You have no memory even of handling your phone at 6:17 in the morning.
I didn't think I was up at 6:17. I thought I was asleep.
Oof.
I mean,
so how could it possibly have been sent? That's my question. How did it happen?
Radiant Durf.
Radiant Durf has its own mind, you guys.
It does.
Maybe it just used my account. It's going to use all of yours in the next couple of weeks. Just takes over whoever it wants.
Guys, it might be the Russians.
The Russians.
Maybe it's Russian hackers, guys.
But
They're after us.
The best part of it all was there was a little click on TweetDeck. You could translate the tweet.
No, that was funny.
And it says, could not translate tweet.
No one speaks, Kevin.
Speaks for us all.
Because the people who need to know.
All right, let me ask one more theory because I know we're out of time here.
All right.
We established recently that Kevin is a cult leader. Remember all the people he got to run their cars down to zero when he created Zero Club?
Yes. I'm trying to get it to stop and I can't.
Is it possible that Radeon Durf is some sort of dog whistle to his followers and they are the ones who need to know what it means and they do and the rest of us aren't supposed to know
and
what
it means?
And
now we're giving it an even bigger platform. We're reaching more people with your Radeon Durf message.
So Radeon Durf is some sort of a call to arms and Kevin and his people are getting ready to take this world down.
And that's what we figured out?
Yep.
All right, good.
Kev Dog, Eat Dog.
Kev Dog. It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-R-O-Q.
K-Rock.
Hey, you guys, it's time for What's Up with Florida.
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida? You always have the craziest news. What's up with you?
Is our most penis-shaped state.
It certainly is, and I will tell you that as long as we've been doing What's Up with Florida, which has got to be several years now on the Kevin Bean Show, right?
Yep.
I don't think I've ever seen this combination of words in a story out of Florida. Fort Pierce, Florida. Authorities say a Florida man has been arrested for being belligerent and giving his girlfriend a wet willy.
What?
A St. Lucie County Sheriff's deputy went to the home after Joseph Sarecki's girlfriend told authorities that he was drunk on the living room floor when she returned home from work. According to the affidavit, he grabbed her hand, pulled her arm, and gave her a wet willy by sticking his wet finger in her ear. The daughter confirmed mom's accounts. Their names were not released. He has been charged with battery. He has declined to give a written statement but said he wasn't drunk. Now, drunk, belligerent, I get.
Mm-hmm.
The wet willy is what really ticked her off, though, it sounds like.
Well, they're awful.
They're awful, right? It's also possible if he was drunk that he did it much harder than he thought.
You could actually
hurt somebody that way.
Yeah, puncture an eardrum.
It really doesn't make sense other than that.
I never thought I'd see wet willy in a story from Florida. Here's the one that made national news this week. This is a Florida couple, William Parrish and Mackenzie Dobbs. They live in Ocala. They were arrested because they were selling heroin. Now, they had a bright idea, though, because a lot of times what gets you caught, if you're running a prostitution ring or you're selling drugs or guns or whatever it is the neighbors notice that a bunch of people are going in and out of your house.
Right.
And a lot of times that's a tip-off that you're running some sort of a business out of there, and then they got eyes on you, and the next thing you know, somebody calls the police. So what these geniuses decided to do was they turned a kitchen window in their home into a drive-thru.
Oh, God.
So that the customers would not have to constantly enter and exit their home. They were trying to not draw unwanted attention.
I don't... Does it say they were trying to not draw unwanted attention? Because
That's what they said, yes.
It so seems like you're risking that. You're going, all right, look, I'm going to get unwanted attention, but it makes it a lot easier.
The house had signs directing people where to drive and indicated whether it was open or closed. The police were tipped off, by the way, because there were a number of overdoses, heroin overdoses, in that particular neighborhood. They determined, by the way, that the heroin had been laced with fentanyl. Is that a bad, seems like maybe a bad combination.
Super, super strong, yeah.
Who thinks that putting a drive-thru in your home is going to call less attention to your house?
And signs that say we're open.
Right.
Yes.
Come on.
That is a way to make sure everybody knows that you're running a business.
Maybe
right?
Don't use your own product.
Yes, that's probably a good idea as well. I got two drunk driving stories that both have unusual angles out of Florida this week. This guy was arrested for marijuana possession and a license plate violation that got him pulled over in the first place. But as he was being frisked by the deputy, they noticed that he was attempting to conceal a large bulge in his left front pocket.
Oh, go on.
The deputy says, hey, exactly. The deputy says, fearing, of course, that it could be some sort of a weapon, the deputy says, hey, what's that large bulge in your
pants? Oh, it's a weapon.
And the man replied, this is in the official police report, the man replied, that's what she said.
To the cop? To the police officer?
He had to write that in the report.
What's that large bulge in your pants?
That
the suspect replied, that's awesome. What she said. It turned out it wasn't what you were hoping it was, Kevin. It was actually a cylindrical plastic case containing marijuana and a small glass pipe.
Oh. Wow.
I mean, are you just super high and you just think that's hilarious?
Yes.
Or you
it has to be the case because otherwise you're really sweating it. You're about to get in trouble.
Yeah.
Yes.
You don't just make jokes like that.
And one more story. We so often say, you know, we talk about the car chase channel. We talk about everybody but me's fascination with the high-speed chases. And we always wonder, what's going through their head? Because 999 times out of 1,000, you don't get away.
Right.
What's going through those drivers' heads when they decide to step on it? Well, at least we know what was going on in this one because this is a drunken man who was observed peeling out of a bar at 4 o'clock in the morning. And police went right after him, and he ended up reaching speeds of more than 100 miles an hour, swerving erratically, going across both lanes of traffic. They deployed tire spikes, which he went through, by the way, and kept on driving. He ended up hitting a light pole, a palm tree, and then eventually crashed into a seawall. So police are closing in on him. He jumps over the seawall and starts swimming away, eventually climbing up under a bridge, the Toms Harbor Channel Bridge, where he hid from authorities for about 30 minutes. That's a lot to go through to get away from the cops when you know you're going to get caught, right?
Mm-hmm.
They asked him why he did it, and he said he wanted to have a great story to tell his friends and family. He knew he was going to get arrested,
what?
So he thought, why not make it a great story?
He did all that so he would have a great story sitting around the table with his family?
Once he knew that he was going to get caught, he said, I'm just going to go for it and make this a fun story. He said, I effed up. I'm sorry. By the way, he was resisted taking a blood alcohol test, saying, I'm already going to jail, so why bother? His blood alcohol was more than double the legal limit in the state of Florida. A search of the man's truck found 3 empty 100-milliliter bottles of Fireball whiskey along with a full
Good
one.
Lord.
Holy cow.
Yeah, this dude was pretty loaded. He's lucky he didn't kill anybody. But at least now we know why some people, at least this guy, went on a high-speed chase because they want a great story to tell their friends. I mean, that's going to be a tough one to beat, you know, with the with the blowing out the tires and hitting a palm tree and swimming and hiding under a bridge.
So he just sits there and he just waits at Thanksgiving and lets everybody else tell their stories and then goes, all right,
hold my beer.
Have a
exactly.
seat.
So anyway, Florida continues to be Florida. God bless him for it. That's this edition of What's Up with Florida.
Florida. Florida, Florida, what's up with Florida?
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
K-Rock.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for great news. It's time for...
You rushed.
I know. That was my fault. 100%. 100% my fault.
All right.
I forgot to give you the little pause.
All right.
First, though, it's time for... great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for...
Allie, make us happy.
Well, I just tweeted video of my great news at Allie McKay, AlliMackay, and it is lovely. And if your heart doesn't explode, I don't know what's wrong with you, but it's about a 99-year-old man from Rochester, New York. His name is Luther Younger, and after 55 years of marriage, he is so, so deeply devoted to his wife, Waverly, who he calls the sweetest cup of tea he ever had.
Oh, does she have Radion Derf?
She doesn't have Radion Derf, but okay. She was diagnosed with a brain tumor nearly 9 years ago. And doctors said she probably has only about 5 years to live. Mm. That was 9 years ago. So over the past 9 years, Waverly has been in and out of the hospital, sometimes for months at a time. And Luther stays by her side and walks to the hospital to visit every single day. And by walks to the hospital, it is a 6-mile round trip. Every single day.
Why doesn't he have somebody who can give the man a lift?
He's a 99-year-old man walking 6 miles every day in the heat, the rain, the snow, just to visit his cup of tea. Yes.
I get that he can't drive, mm-hmm. but why doesn't he have somebody who can take him?
Well.
Even occasionally.
Sure. You would say to his daughter, hey, what are you doing? Why aren't you giving him a ride? She asks him every single day, I want to give you a ride. Let's figure out the bus. Let's do whatever. And he says, no.
He's just showing off then.
He said, I got a wife. I don't want to wait on the bus. I don't want to wait for anyone. I just want to go see my wife. And he said he likes to walk because it clears his mind. And he's always done hard labor for work. He grew up in Fort Worth, Texas, so he's used to the heat. He's a Marine. He fought in the Korean War. He prides himself on his physical strength. And I think a lot of it, too, this reporter decided to go with him on the walk. And he said to this reporter, you know, you got to keep up with me. And the reporter's like, all right, whatever. He runs during parts of
what?
It.
What?
Oh, my
God.
And
gosh.
I think a bit of it, too, is he's become quite a little celebrity in this town. And people stop. Ah. They say hello. People pull up next to him. Hey, you want to ride? No, you know I don't. And he just keeps going. I think it's a social thing for him on the way to the hospital.
That's
and on
amazing.
The way back
as well.
And
he doesn't go in. He just turns around and walks back. And he's like, hey, everybody.
Plot twist, there is no Waverly. No, of course there is.
How long does it take a 99-year-old man to walk 6 miles?
A lot less than it would take you or I, think.
Yes,
this man
like
is
it.
Amazing. So he walks into the hospital room and he says to the reporter, "Watch this, baby, give me a kiss." And Waverly kisses him and her eyes flutter. And he's so proud that that kiss can still make her do that. And he said, "That's my cup of tea. And she's sweet, too." This man is everything that is good and wonderful in the world, and I just love it so, so very much. So I retweeted the video so you can get a load of him. By the way, in the video, he's also doing push-ups.
All just, right, take it easy.
Just to F with
you're
the reporter.
You're better than everybody. Okay.
It is amazing. So God bless you, 99-year-old Luther Younger.
He's going to have a much younger girlfriend very soon, buddy.
How dare you? That is my great news.
Kevin, you're up next.
A Colorado woman collapsed at the top of a 14,000-foot summit in the Rocky Mountains. Ooh. She tore her ACL. She jumped, sort of missed. Her ooh, left leg hit. She heard a loud pop. And she's like, "I am 3.5 miles from where I need to go.
Oh,
how
no,
am I possibly going to get there?" And she was with some hikers, but there were some other hikers that she didn't know at all, mm-hmm, who were also in the military, by the way.
Of course.
And one of the guys said, "Let's go. We got to carry her out." And he picked her up and just threw her on his shoulders like a sack of beans and just carried her. And this is her describing the story of these guys that she didn't know carrying her all the way out.
So I'm sitting there and I'm like, what am I going to do? How am I going to get off this hill? We got 3.5 miles to go.
That's when she says an active serviceman and the group he was with, who were also on the trail, offered to help.
So he literally slung me over his shoulders and he walked for like 200 yards. And then so all the other guys are like, "Well, we want to learn how to do that." So they all learned from him and they carried me, fireman style, 2.5 miles down that hill. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. I don't know them from Adam. Half of them don't know each other from Adam. It's taken 3 hours of their life to do this, plus a woman that they have no idea who she is. These were just normal people, and here they were doing this. It was amazing, amazing humanity.
Wow!
And the leader of that group is Allie's 99-year-old too. That's the amazing
thing. He's the one carrying her,
down the mountain.
I was trying to do the math, and she had 3.5 miles to go, and then she said they carried her 2.5. So I don't know.
they just got sick of her.
They're like, you know what?
Tired of her BS.
Tired of this. You could scoot on your butt the last mile.
She sounded like an older woman.
Yeah, she was 55.
55. Yep. So she wasn't hot. So there was no need for them to do this.
No, they just did it.
Okay, weird. Yeah.
And that's my great news.
And I'll wrap up here with Tabitha Frost. She has something called hyperlactation syndrome, which is a rare condition that some women have, not many, which means that she produces way, way, way too much breast milk. She has been donating breast milk through her 3 pregnancies because she overproduces for how much her children can eat.
Is that something you can take advantage of? Is somebody else's donating?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
they sell
it.
Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
She gives it away, and she has at this point donated more than 117 gallons of breast milk.
Oh, my.
She lives in Carlsbad, California. She said, "I know that there are a lot of people out there who have babies prematurely, and their milk hasn't come in yet, so I see this as a way to be able to serve my community." She said, when her second child was born, the nurse at the hospital commented on her high production level, saying she'd never seen that much milk before. So she started doing research, and she says she just pumps all the time. She gets up at 2:30 in the morning to start pumping, by the way. She has to pump 6 times a day in order to keep it flowing. She's basically turned it into a full-time job. She says, "There's a pump in my bedroom. I have a station on the side of my couch in the living room. I have a setup in the car to grab whenever I'm on the go." She says she's pumped in restaurants, on vacation, on airplanes, at concerts, everywhere. Her husband is very supportive of this, and she says, "Look, I've got all this milk. I can't possibly use it, so I want to get it into the mouths of little babies that can." And that is just an unbelievable story, I think, because it would be very easy for her to just throw away whatever her kids can't use, but she goes to all this extra trouble and effort, and she gets nothing in return as a result of it, except that she knows she makes lots of little babies happy. So I love that. Thank you, Tabitha Frost. That's my great news.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock.
It's time for Ally McKay, Dream Interpreter.
Dreams, what do they mean?
pickle? Why can't my boobs get bigger?
Allie Dreamin' Trepeter.
Wow! Don't pull out.
Allie Dreamin' Trepeter.
Smell it.
Allie Dreamin' Trepeter. Come on now, Allie.
Suck it.
Stop it.
None of those really are helpful to the,
yeah,
the
welcome
conversation.
To my life.
Okay, all right.
Omar seems to have a habit of doing that. All right, what's your dream? Allie can interpret it for you, 1-800-520-1067. We are going to start with Alex. He's on line two, and he joins us from La Puente. Alex, welcome to the show. You're on with Allie.
Hey, what it do, party people?
What's up, Alex?
Hey, I have a dream. I have long, like, long black hair, mm-hmm. and I'm standing in front of the mirror, and I'm brushing my hair, and it's falling out.
Mm. Is this a recurring dream?
Yes, it happens all the time.
Hmm. Yeah. Here's what's happening, Alex. You are very fearful of losing your sex appeal and your virility, and you're having some insecurities about that. You're not feeling as secure in your looks as maybe you used to, and your hair represents strength and power. So you're feeling a little bit weak and vulnerable in some aspects of your life right now. Am I correct?
Yes, actually, yes, because I'm getting older. I'm starting to feel right. a little bit older.
Right.
Yeah. I might have something to do with it. Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Here's what I would do. Cut your hair, hippie.
Cut it now?
Yeah. You got to cut it, Alex.
This is why it's Allie's segment, because I'm telling you, those of us like Alex and me with rock star hair,
right.
you know,
sure.
you can't underestimate how great it is.
Right.
I
but
get
you're
it.
Saying cut it. All right.
I'm
you're saying
cut
it. Get ahead
yeah.
of it. Okay. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Zara, line five, please, in Irvine. This is an interesting dream I don't think I've heard before. Zara, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. You're on with Allie.
Hi, good morning. So I got let go of my job maybe towards the end of May of this year. And since then, I've just been dreaming about that job, my boss, my coworkers and things like that. And it's been a reoccurring dream. I mean, they're all very similar, but they're not the same exact dream. And I'm trying to understand why I keep dreaming about that former employer.
I feel like you feel that you were unfairly let go and that there's undone business there. And you feel like by going back there and working there, you keep dreaming about that, that you have more to prove.
Oh, my God. You nailed it.
Thank you, Zara. Thank you. Also, that hot dude in accounting. Am I right, Zara?
Yeah. Hey, Zara, do you have another job?
Gone.
Oh, she's gone.
Yeah.
Okay, so
just
wondering if she's moved on to have another job, and if so, if that would help maybe make the dreams go away. All right, let's go to Santa Fe Springs, slide four. This is going to be our friend Sandy joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Sandy, welcome to K-Rock.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're good.
We're great. Allie's on a roll here. Mm. What can she do for you?
Yeah, I had this dream. It was a while ago, actually, but it's always stuck with me. It was kind of crazy. Because in my dream, you realize that you're actually dreaming. But it was just so real mm-hmm. that I dreamt that I had was in the presence of God. And what it was when I realized, it was kind of like in a flash where all of a sudden it's like you're somewhere else. And then you look at yourself and you're like, I wasn't in a body. I was like in a soul, like in a spirit or a flash, or like it actually looked like a flame. And I looked over and, now my ex-husband, but he was there as well. And then I was just like, oh my God. And just looking all around in my surroundings and just these vivid colors. And then all of a sudden I see this presence that I felt was God. Mm-hmm. And it was like this being, just like this really big, immense, just, I just like knelt down because I was like, oh my God. You know, like, yeah. God, oh my God.
Yeah, and Sandy, you died that night.
What?
Yeah, she died that night. But, she saw God, and God was like, not your time, go back down.
It was a dream of her dying?
No,
she died.
Literally died.
Wow.
Sorry, Sandy, I know that's
Whoa.
A lot. Yeah.
I know, because I actually felt that, and I was like, did I die and have an experience?
Yeah,
because I realized that all of our... you know, anger and hatred and all our human emotions are human emotions. And all I felt was love.
Mm.
And it's like the craziest feeling.
You need to die more often, man. It sounds awesome.
It was pretty profound, but yeah, it was incredible. It was really insane.
All right. So you just got a medical diagnosis mm-hmm. from a chick on the radio.
Yeah,
I
you're
like
welcome.
That. Okay, thank you very much. All right, let's squeeze in a couple more.
We got to do Brittany.
All right, let's do Brittany. Yeah. Brittany's listening to us online from Raleigh, North Carolina, you guys. Hey, Brittany, what's happening?
Hi, guys. How are you?
We are good. Thank you.
Well, I've had a recurring dream every 4 months for the last 5 or 6 years that I'll be in various social settings with my mom and other people, and my mom will go off and have sex with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Wait, it's always Leonardo?
It's
always the same.
Interesting. Okay, do you feel some sort of almost like you're fighting for attention when your mom's around?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I'm always super jealous.
Yeah, you're super jealous of your mom because you want to bone Leonardo, but he wants old... So,
well, wait,
yeah.
Hold on a second, Allie. Look, in no way am I infringing on your territory. But Leonardo DiCaprio, he exiles any models once they get to be 25.
See, that's how hot Britney's mom is in her head. That's how jealous of her she is.
I see.
Because she knows something that could never happen, possibly could, because that's how insecure she is about her mother.
Wow, your mom must be so hot.
Yeah, your mom's super hot,
She's
Brittany.
A 10, guys.
All right, well, I think you nailed that one too, Allie. This has been Allie McKay Dream Interpreter.
Allie Dream Interpreter.
Why can't my boobs get bigger?
Allie Dream Interpreter.
Woo!
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Look who's back, you guys. It's our friend Kurt Sutter.
Hey. Kurt.
Hey, Kurt.
Hey, boys, girls.
Welcome back bright and early this morning. Can you hear okay?
I got here okay. I did.
Kurt is kind enough to join us whenever he has a new show. And throughout the 7-year run of Sons of Anarchy, he came in many times. But today is a very, very special day because tonight on FX is the premiere of his latest called Mayans MC. And just like with Sons, I feel like there's a lot of you in this one, Kurt. This one's very special for you.
I tend to continuously work out my stuff.
Is this like your therapist?
Like my, Sons was like a lot of daddy issues. Bastard was a lot of my Catholic issues, and I think we're diving into some, you know, dead mommy stuff on mine.
Sweet.
Wow.
Well, let's set it up for folks who maybe are brand new to the Sutter universe. What's the overreaching storyline about Mayans MC?
It's based on the Latino motorcycle club that was in Sons, Mayans, which was headed up by Alvarez, Emilio Rivera plays. And it takes place in real time. You know, it's about 3 years after the, the last we saw of the Sons. And, I wanted to set it, it's really interesting because my plan was... I wanted the hero to not be a part of the world, whereas Jax Teller was born into the world and had a legacy within it. I wanted a character that had nothing to do with that world and found himself there by a matter of circumstance. And that's the case with our hero, Easy Reyes. And then I also wanted to put the most... the largest amount of physical distance I could between mythologies of Northern California. And literally, that's the main reason I set it on the border. But of course, now everyone assumes that, I have a statement to make about
sure.
the border.
It was
really like, how far can I go in California and still be in California?
Well, it does feel like the same world as Sons, but I assume that you had to put a lot of work into not making it a retread.
Yeah.
And you accomplished that.
Thank you. I knew coming into the show that a white guy from Jersey shouldn't be the sole voice in a show about a Latino culture. So, I spent a lot of time meeting with writers, and Elgin James, my co-creator, is a brilliant writer, amazing young guy, and He's on this journey with me. And then, you know, my room is all women and people of color, and my, you know, my art directors, you know. So my the creative influence in the show is of the Latino culture. And, you know, my plan, honestly, is just to get the white guy out of the room as quickly as possible.
So you're saying it's not that hard to have a whole writer's room of people of color and women?
Apparently not.
It's doable.
Weird.
Yeah.
How much did you worry about that at the beginning? Is my voice isn't necessarily the voice of the Mayans?
Well, it's not. Look, and as most of you in this room could attest, being politically correct is not really high on my agenda. Right. So it's not like I'm doing these things because, you know, there's an expectation of it, and not that that expectation is wrong, but for me, it's the only thing that made creative sense, right? Like, I didn't grow up in an MC culture, but I grew up in a working class, blue collar, you know, small town, right? So I felt like I could be true to that voice and understand it. But I felt I needed to surround myself with creatives that understood the culture, you know, from the way it looks to the way it feels. And you know, and look, a lot of that is in the casting, you know. Mm-hmm. I joke that, you know, most of my actors have more jail time than screen time, and that comes across, right? There's an authenticity, and for me, as a storyteller, you know, in Sons, the only way I got away with telling those big sort of nearly absurd stories was rooting the show in reality, in authenticity, you know. So I was, you know, I was tough in terms of being on people for all those details, from the bikes to the clothing to the world, you know. And I'm the same way on the Mayans, right? Like, if I can nail down all those details that make it rich and authentic, then it gives me permission to tell these sort of bigger epic stories because you're plugged in, you know. Mm-hmm.
This is the voice of Kurt Sutter here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about Mayans MC debuting on FX tonight at 10. Do you speak Spanish, by the way, Kurt?
You know what? I don't. I started learning Spanish to, you know, to help with the writing.
Because your cast and crew is talking so much smack about you every single day.
You don't have any idea.
And you know what? That's the way it should be.
You learned it.
Well, here's what happened is I started taking lessons, like Spanish lessons, and I realized really quickly that I would never have enough of a grasp on the language to be able to write it, meaning that the literal definition and sort of academic understanding of Spanish is so far from how it's spoken, and especially, you know, in urban settings.
Yeah.
And what happened,
a lot of colloquialisms.
And what happened was it actually started to mess with my process because I was half thinking about this, about like the etymology of things. And so what I did is I have like three layers of translations that I do. I have a more academic translation that's done, and then I have another layer that's done by someone on my writing team that then breaks it down in more colloquial terms. And then my final layer is my cast, you know, and as far as intonation and dropping of certain words and stuff. So those are sort of my layers of authenticity in terms of the language. And, you know, and that seems to be right now the way that it works. Like, I'm not getting any blowback from my cast, from, you know.
Cast has the ability to fix it.
Yeah, yeah, and without putting the burden on them, like, hey, here's a line, how would you say it? It's like, we really, you know, because I don't believe the script should be a blueprint, right? I like what's on the page to, you know, but you know, and it's interesting because I have characters that are street, and then I have characters that are more like the character that Danny Pino plays, Miguel Galindo, is you know, Harvard, is you know, Ivy League educated, you know. So his rhythm is going to be a little bit different. His, you know, his, you know, use of you know, a broader vocabulary will be there. So it's like, you know, there's a little bit of a dance within that. But for me, real, you know, the idea that I could sort of take that on myself became really clear to me within like the first 3 weeks of doing. I'm like, I'm never going
to
get there.
Well, there are so many storylines that you can already see are being set up to be explored in episode one. We've been lucky enough to see it already. It airs tonight at 10 on FX. Many more questions for our guests. We're so happy to have Kurt Sutter back in the room. We'll take a quick break and return right after this on K-Rock.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock, KROQ.
Always pleased to welcome our friend Kurt Sutter back to the Kevin and Bean Show. He is here on a very special night. Mayans MC debuts tonight on FX. Here's a little taste of the trailer.
My brother, can't ask you to do this unless I know you really want it. The club, the life, all of it, all in.
Where they been hiding you?
Stuck in state prison.
Down with this, being in the prospect.
I say we trust until we don't.
We got ourselves in deep, brother.
You're in this now, sir. No getting out.
Okay. Are taking Boy Scout.
Okay.
Is there an occasional moment where you have to say, Edward, what do you call Edward James almost? What does he go by?
Captain.
Sir.
Sir.
Anything he wants. Right? No. Has there ever been a time you go, honestly, we can't understand what you're saying. You have to speak up a little bit. Because he just says everything under
his... He doesn't overact.
No, it's crazy. I love him. Having said that, I love him. But
it's the great thing about Eddie. It's like a lot of the dynamic, especially early in the season, is just establishing that relationship, you know. And, you know, I'm basing it on my understanding. I like the idea of, you know, it's not, there's no mother figure, right? And so it's about a widow and two sons and how clumsy that emotional life is. So, you know, if he's anything like my old man, like he doesn't talk a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you have to, how do you communicate, you know, volumes of history and stuff with, a couplet here, a few lines there. And that's when you go out and get a guy like Eddie James Olmos, who basically can do that, you know, under his breath.
Yeah, yes, he really can.
He is Mr. Gravitas, that's for sure. You do lean in to hear what he has to say. You've said in interviews and in a lot of your shows, Kurt, that you sometimes don't know where the characters are going. They kind of lead you. And I think that is really, really fascinating. Like, you've got a framework, but you don't sit down knowing exactly where you're going to end up. Would you mind telling me a little bit about that? Because that sounds counter to the way most people plan out a show.
I have a general sense of where I want to take a season and sort of mile markers. But I learned on Sons that when I came in each season, the looser my grip was on all that stuff, the better the show was. So, you know, we'll start laying track to, an arc or something. But then when I get inside to sort of do my draft of the script, and as hokey as it sounds, like, you know, the voices start talking to me and the scenes go one way and then, you know, stuff happens, right? So
you ever stand up and go, I didn't see that happening today I sat down.
So the thing, the cool thing for me is then, like, I don't, anything that happens, if this world is authentic, nothing can happen in a vacuum. So whether it's violence, whether it's an absurd comedic beat, like, it all, you know, there has to be cause and effect. And often will be the turn that suddenly takes the story down a whole different direction. And more often than not, I can, you know, still get to that mile marker, but the way I got there was completely unexpected.
Gotcha.
And that's the fun for me, right? That's the magic. That's the, like, oh, wow, this is, like, actually an organic process. It's not, you know, like accounting. Like, I'm not sitting down and going, this happens. Like, I'm sort of letting the world and the characters, to a certain degree, dictate where everything goes.
The pilot of the show is tonight. How far ahead are you working?
We've wrapped production.
Season one.
We have wrapped production. Because we began pretty early, and because we didn't know when we were going to premiere initially, and then, you know, as things were looking good, they decided, okay. So they leaned into the Sons of it all, and we have the old Sons time slot.
You're debuting one day after the 10-year anniversary of Sons of Anarchy.
But I have about another month or so in post, and but everything right now is in the can.
Have you had any problems with FX with the amount of or the intensity of the violence that you sometimes like to show?
In the pilot, for example.
you know, it's interesting, right? It's a different world now because now the F word is you know, I can freely use that where I never could. And I have to check myself sometimes because I'm like, all right, am I abusing them?
Just because I can.
You know, I always get, I don't get pushback so much on the violence. I'll get, you know, I have a really good relationship with FX, and I don't get notes anymore. I get questions, but I'm hip to the fact that the questions are notes.
Right. So. Yes. So when I say, did you have to chop off that body part, have to explain why you had to chop off that body part.
I think they're used to body parts being chopped off and things that I do. It's a lot of times it's how do we, you know, like, you know, what's that going to look like, right? You know, is it, can we tell the story without it being, you know, having a close-up of the whatever going through the whatever. So.
Well, I have one note. Just I know
you have to pose it as a question.
You have to put it in form of a question, like Jeopardy.
Okay. Isn't Ezekiel warm in that vest and shirt? Should he take it off? Maybe more on an episode. Cool down a little bit for the lady.
It is hot down there by the border, Kurt.
It is very hot, yeah. There's an entire episode where he's just naked in mid-season.
Sweet.
It's a dream sequence. And he keeps calling you for analysis.
He is a handsome young man, by the way. That
and
JD
he, partner. My God, was he working out in prison.
He did.
Yeah.
Good God. Pretty buff.
All right, we're almost out of time. I have one final question for you, Kurt, and that is... you broke our hearts so many times over the course of your 7 seasons on Sons. Have you already decided which deaths are going to make us weep for Mayans? Never get over what you did to Opie, you bastard.
Know, that was the hard one, man. That was the...
Even
that
after
was...
you said that, he said, thank you.
Well, thank you. My work is done.
You look forward to taking these people that we let into our homes and have made part of our families and just destroying them, don't you?
Why should you be happy?
No one else is, for God's sakes.
No, I don't. Again, I don't. Those things aren't predetermined, you know, unless I'm an actor, it's going to be a problem. Which I do not have on the show. No, those things are never really predetermined. Like, in the case of Opie, as heartbreaking as that was, right? After everything we did to that character, from his wife to his dad, and everything he became aware of, it was just impossible to have that guy sit at the table. It was, you know, it just didn't make sense.
So it was just dictated by everything that he'd been through.
Yeah. And then I didn't want to, like, what do? I just send him off on exile or he's not around? And that seemed like, you know, that didn't seem right.
No, let's beat him to death. Let's do that. That's a better out.
Right. All right, let me just ask one final question for me, and that is, I'll start it with a statement, which is, I love the pilot. Because there's not, that airs tonight, because there's not a lot of downtime where you're introducing us to all the new people, it hits the ground running. You're right in the middle of a story that you feel like you've sort of known your whole life. How do you want to set up tonight's pilot with all of the different storylines that you're sort of kicking off?
Thank you. I that was the intention. You know, it's so hard in a pilot and even with a show that we sort of know the world a little bit, you know, to have it be compelling and yet give everybody the information. You know, for me, it's the idea that we have a character like Easy Reyes, who is this, you know, like genius, right? He's like this golden boy who Ivy League, super photographic memory, sports, like just was on a completely different trajectory and that got yanked out from underneath him and finds himself sort of in this outlaw world, in this, you know, the town he grew up in, which he was desperately trying to get away from, you know. It's everything is just a really, it's just a variation of It's a Wonderful Life.
That's what I would have thought. Sure, that makes perfect sense. Tonight, 10 o'clock, FX. Watcher to your no friend of ours. It's called Mayans NC. Kurt, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. We really appreciate you.
I love you guys. Thank you.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sally's got what's happening here on this Tuesday.
Well, Dwayne Johnson is warning fans that phony Facebook pages in his name are popping up and duping people into sending them money. And in return, they're promising cash and cars. What?
Why? So how would that even work?
Exactly. Right? Exactly. So he's had to post on Instagram saying, sorry if you've been affected by these fake Facebook accounts asking for money or worse, actually engaged with them to send money in. It's hard to mitigate these a-holes because they pop up by the dozens daily hoping to prey on the ones who have fallen on hard times. So he just says, be vigilant, be smart, report it. Right now, he says he is the feds working on it, but it's popping up at a rate that people just can't even, you know, keep control of. But if somebody says they're The Rock or someone working with them and they just want to chat with you and maybe...
That should strike you as weird.
That should be weird to you. That should
don't expect to hear from The Rock.
No, right. No. Maybe don't expect
it's a good rule in general.
Yeah, don't expect really to hear from any celebrity online. Unless he's a pervy dude sliding into the DMs, because that does happen.
By the way, you guys all watch Ballers, right?
Sure.
Yep. Could The Rock get any huger? Like, it's at the point now where it seems like it's kind of hard for him to walk through doors.
Not only that, but I feel like his legs are so thick that you're always going to hear the pants. Like, remember that Seinfeld episode with a... I feel like that's happening everywhere he goes. His shirts look uncomfortable because the neck is so tight.
Is that why he needs the money?
Or why do you think that might be it? He's asking for a new tailor.
It's almost like whatever he buys, he gets too big for it within a week.
Right.
You know? And then, so all of his clothes are too small.
Yeah, all the people on the set are like, listen, this fit last week. I don't know what to do. You've got to shoot right now. But his arms are like busting out of every shirt.
Yeah. He's turning into a real life Incredible Hulk. And I just feel so bad for Rob Corddry because it looks like, because he's always standing next to The Rock, it looks like he's shrinking before our very eyes.
And he's just a normal-sized human.
Yep. Right.
Oh, God bless him. Remember when he had the poopies? Couldn't come in?
Sure do.
That was great.
He literally said, I couldn't come in because I had the poopies. That was said by a grown-ass man.
And was acceptable.
Totally.
Right.
Oh, I loved it. Well, Camila Cabello has smashed a very impressive record on Spotify. The 21-year-old singer has just become the first female artist to have a song hit 1 billion streams.
Wow. That is shy. Is this for Havana?
Havana, yeah.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that Beyonce and Taylor Swift and some of the other ones hadn't gotten to 1 billion before.
Yeah, Dell, I would think, yeah.
A billion's a lot.
1 billion is a lot. How much money you think she got for that? Like $12?
Probably.
Maybe, yeah. If she's lucky. It is crazy, isn't it? And this is a real bummer. But William Shatner did an interview with the Daily News, and he addresses an issue that's also in his new memoir, Live Long and What I Learned Along the Way. He revealed that he eventually stopped talking to Leonard Nimoy and didn't even go to his funeral because he just felt unwelcome. And he writes, until the day I die, I still wonder what caused that rift. After all the years we spent together, after the bond we had forged, what could I have done that was so irreparable that he couldn't even talk to me about it.
Hmm.
I didn't know that.
Me either.
No. And in fact, when he received that heat for not going to the funeral, he explained that he was in Florida at the time and he had previous other commitments that he had, and he would have had to take a private plane and on and on and on and on and on. He made it sound like he had a reasonable explanation for not being there.
Yeah.
Made no mention of a feud.
Yeah, now it turns out he didn't go because he felt unwelcome.
That's a shame.
That is a shame. We should get to the bottom of that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call him for the next break.
Sure.
Because let's be honest, don't we know at some point when we have hurt someone or someone has hurt us, we know what the feud's about. I think it's a very small case where you're just like, no idea what happened. I think maybe he knows. Maybe that's in his next book.
Okay.
It's called, By the Way, I Knew.
I knew all along.
Just saying. I'd like to know. Some birthdays for you. Damon Wayans, Whitney Cummings, Beyonce Knowles, Max Greenfield, Dr. Drew, James Bay, and Mark Ronson. And that's what's happening.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
It's a different party. I love little girls. They make me feel so good. Don't you stay with me one more day. You really can't blame me.
With us and you will see, this our town of Halloween. This is Halloween, this is Halloween.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Pumpkin King himself, the great Danny Elfman, joins us in studio on the Kevin DeBee Show. Danny, welcome back.
Thank you.
How you been, man?
Good. How about you?
We've been good.
Real good.
Yeah, it's always good to see you. I love this time of year as we start to get into the, you know, the pumpkin spice lattes are available, Dan. I don't know if you're a fan or not, but.
Well, I'm not a latte fan, but
okay.
I like everything pumpkin.
Sure.
Anything with pumpkin and cinnamon, I'm there.
Okay. Well, it's getting to be that time, and the reason Danny is here is, and we'll get into it in great detail, is the Disney Nightmare Before Christmas is coming back to the Hollywood Bowl. Now, how many years in a row have you done this where you perform and sing and along with the movie in front of a paying crowd?
Well, I mean, I did it not last year, but the previous 2 years I did it. And then I decided, well, I don't think I'm going to do it anymore. And then my managers came back and said, you know, it's the 25th anniversary.
Special.
And I said, oh, ouch.
What is it about you that makes you think, okay, I've done that. Now I want to stop doing that.
I don't know.
It's unique to you, I think.
It's just
maybe
me.
More than most people.
I don't know. I feel like I should do something while it still feels right and not, you know.
Not do it because you have to or it's expected.
Yeah,
or
go on to the point where you're just like, you're going, well, why is he still doing that, really?
And, well, I'll tell you why, because it's going to sell out any time you put these tickets on sale. People look forward to this so much.
Well, I guess I know that. And, I mean, to a certain degree, and I'm really grateful for that, but I just don't like, there's something about he's doing this every year that really gets to me. You know, with Oingo Boingo, I did so many Halloween shows in a row.
Right.
And
when you quit, we were all like, oh yeah, he'll take a year off, but then he'll be back. No.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a point where it's like, everybody's expecting me. They'll see me, I see you on Halloween. Well, how do you know you'll see me on Halloween? Because I know where you'll be.
And it go, rubs you well, the wrong way.
Yeah.
I love
And then with this, I was saying, oh my God, because I did the Nokia Theater 3 years before Nightmare.
Right.
So that was really 2 years ago. It was my fifth year doing these shows, and I was starting to go, this, I'm going to get into another 15-year you know, Halloween thing again.
But I hear what you're saying, but when you're standing there and you've got the orchestra behind you and you're in the one of the most iconic and beautiful venues in the world and they're projecting not only the movie but all the stuff around the movie, it's kind of magic, though, I would imagine, even for you having to work that night, right?
No, it is magic, and I have not gotten sick of doing the Jack character. I mean, fortunately, when I started this, I guess 5 years ago, I'd never done Jack live, and I don't do it like all the time on tour and around and go week after week after week. So I do it seldom enough. You know, we do it like an Elfman Burton or Nightmare Before Christmas, maybe. You know, 3-4 times a year. And so it's still spaced out enough that I haven't kind of grown fatigued from it or sick of it, you know.
Sure.
So that's been a good thing. You know, it's not like being in a band where you're going for months on the road doing the same songs every night.
Right.
At a certain point, you want to just, you know, you just don't want to go crazy. And
sure.
So it's good that it's spread out and that I just haven't got there.
This job came quite a few years into your successful film scoring career. You had already done, you know, Batman and a bunch of other stuff and the Pee-wee movies and everything. But was it the first one that you had to write lyrics for because of Jack Skellington?
Yeah, it was. So it was unique, and it went down so easily because, unlike when I was writing for Oingo Boingo, I knew what I was writing about. There was a story, and I thought, I've never done that before.
Wow.
Usually when I sat down to write a song, it's like, what do I want to write about? What am I angry about? What's annoying me? What would be funny? What would be ridiculous?
Right.
And I don't know. And I just kind of start messing around. But here, there was a story. And I said, oh, my God, there's no question about what I'm writing about. I'm writing about Jack Skellington wandering into a forest, discovering a door in a tree, getting sucked down, and arriving for the first time in Christmasland.
Oh, you know, just another one of those. Right.
Well, you know, like Tim would lay it out for me. He would tell me the story bit by bit by bit. So he would tell me just one part of it, and he'd show me pictures. And that way, it was so easy because I'd never in my life done anything where I knew exactly what I was going to sit down and start writing.
Well, it's unique as well in that I saw a Harry Potter movie there with the score and the orchestra was playing, and that was really great. But there's no live music in that. You know what I mean? It's not focused on like it is in this particular movie and you being on stage being able to sing this character's words.
Well,
it's really amazing.
It's thank you. You know, we have 10 songs, so it's kind of a unique musical. You know, most contemporary musicals have 5 or 6, and Tim and I didn't really know anything about how to put together what a musical was supposed to be.
Is that
like? Right? Yeah. And so we just ended up with 10 songs. We were just, we didn't even have a script at that point. And it's just, let's start telling the story in songs as much as seems appropriate, and then we'll figure the rest out.
Have you ever had an interest, because I know you're always looking to expand what you do musically, in writing an actual musical?
You know, it could be, maybe, yeah. If something weird or odd or unusual came along that caught me. I was working for about 2 years on a musical on the life of Houdini, but which never went anywhere. I realized, man, a real musical is a lot of work over many years.
You worked for 2 years on that, and it came to nothing.
Came to nothing. And Nightmare Before Christmas, it took me 1 month to write all 10 songs.
What?
No.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I wrote a song pretty much every 3 days. Tim would come in, tell me the story. Literally, as he's telling me the story, I'm starting to hear the song in my head, and I'd kind of whisk him out the door. And 3 days later, I'd call him and say, I got a song. And he'd come over and listen to it. Okay, cool. And okay, now the next song is like this. And it was I've never done anything that was so direct and just went down so
sort of seemed like it was laid out before you. You didn't even have to think about it.
In a weird way, I wasn't thinking about it. As he was telling me, it was just like, yeah, I hear that. Okay, I got it. And I would
stop talking right now. Let's go.
Exactly.
Beat it.
I would have to say that. Stop talking, because I'm hearing it in my head. And I would want to run into the little studio.
That's a mind meld you and Tim had during that time. A mind meld. It's crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I've never done anything like it since that was so kind of directly simple. It just seemed to lay itself out. And all I had to do was just kind of open up the gate and...
Do you go see musicals on Broadway or when those touring companies come through Los Angeles? And as a composer yourself, are you just in awe when you go see like a Hamilton or something?
Well, I was just about to say no, I don't. Uh-huh. And then I was about to say, except for Hamilton and the Book of Mormon.
Sure.
It's my favorite.
Those are the two. I don't see many musicals. Those are the only, actually the only two I've seen in years.
Can you judge them not on that level, a musical level, which is what you do? Or
just
does that
fan?
Sort of ruin it for you?
No, I mean, you know, when I'm enjoying a musical, I'm enjoying a musical. Most musicals I go see, the music makes me want to run out of there really fast. The Book of Mormon was just hysterical.
Right.
And I brought my son to see it, and he just was 11, and he couldn't believe it. But I guess that makes me liable for something.
I mean, it's not great
what
parenting.
What I meant is he's 21.
It's not great parenting.
I said 11. I don't know why I said 11. He was 21.
Don't be ridiculous.
And but then we went and saw Hamilton. I saw Hamilton, and I was blown away. And I brought my kids back to see it with me. But
yeah, it's amazing.
I went in there really skeptical because it's like, okay, it's a rap thing and, you know, two or three songs and it's it, but they can't sustain that for a whole thing. And then somewhere around the fifth or sixth song, I went, oh man, he can sustain it. And really somewhere about the middle of the first act, I said, okay, I give up. This thing,
it's just
brilliant. It's just
all right.
Brilliant.
We got to take a break, Danny. I'm sorry to do this to you because we love hearing you talk, but Danny Elfman is here.
Blah,
when we come back,
blah, blah, blah.
We will
blah,
roll out blah, all the details you need to know about Disney Nightmare Before Christmas
he
with
talks,
Danny Elfman.
He talks,
at the Hollywood
Bowl. And we can't shut him up.
We'll tell you how you can buy your tickets and we'll give away some tickets too and more with Danny right after this on camera.
And maybe we'll even shut him up.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock.
Thank you, Danny Elfman. We're talking about Disney Nightmare Before Christmas coming to the Hollywood Bowl. I was going to say again this year, and I guess that's technically correct, but as you mentioned, you took last year off, so this is very exciting. It's the film's 25th anniversary.
Yeah, last year we actually did Dia de los Muertos in Mexico City.
Ah,
Halloween show.
Wow.
And that was fun.
Super fun. Let me give out the ticket on sale information before we run out of time. Tickets go on sale to the public this Saturday morning, September 8th at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster. But there is a K-Rock pre-sale. You know how we do with the free password. Just go to krock.com, sign up, make sure you get the password, and you can buy tickets starting this Friday, September the 7th at noon.
Okay? And I've been, and it's great, great fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it is great fun.
I can't wait. I haven't seen it. Is it?
It's pretty good. Yeah, Chuck's all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Danny, what did you think of, I don't believe last time we had you on, I don't remember if it was out or not, but what did you think of the cover album of The Nightmare Before Christmas with Fiona Apple and Panic at the Disco and Korn and all those doing your songs?
I was just, you know, amazed that all these artists were doing that.
That and they would?
Yeah, that they would. I just couldn't believe it. I was like, wow. I mean, the range of people coming in and doing it, and it was really flattering, you know, and to the extreme.
Really? That's interesting, because you knew they were great songs. Obviously, they've held the, you know, they've stood the test of time.
I never know that. I just know I did it, and it's, you know, done. And I don't know.
Even long afterwards, you can't look at something and go, that was great.
No. I could always, I look at back at anything I've done forever. If I look back and I go, I could have done that better. That's why I had a policy with Oingo Boingo and then with the film scores. I never listen to anything. Once it's recorded and I've approved like a mix and a mastering, I'll never listen to it again.
Really?
Wow. So yeah. Do you even go to premieres where your music's in a movie?
Well, no, I'm at the premiere, but okay. That's usually still just as we're putting everything together.
Right.
I've usually barely finished a soundtrack album. But I mean, like when I did Elfman Burton, 25th anniversary, and I put together suites for 15 movies, it was the first time I'd listened to each of those scores since I'd done them, and it was really strange.
Wow. And were you judging them the whole time? Like, ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't have done that.
What a horrible recording that was.
So what about when you're at home and you're flipping around your TV and Mars Attacks is on? Will you stop for a minute or will you avoid that because you know, oh, I'm going to hear some of my music if I keep it on this channel?
It depends. Sometimes I'll stop for a minute, but my wife and I, we both have a thing. It's like, you know, she's an actress, and if one of her movies comes on, she'll say, no, turn. And usually if one of my movies come on, I go, she wants to watch it. And I'll go, I don't want to hear this. This was a terrible dub. It'll just get me angry. So we kind of have a thing with each other because I want to watch the movie she was in.
Of course, sure.
And, you know, so we have to turn the channel if either of our work comes on.
That is really funny. All right, true or false, Danny Elfman, Nightmare Before Christmas was not a big hit when it came out 25 years ago?
It wasn't. It was one of those rare things that got a second life. When it came out, nobody knew what it was. Disney didn't know what it was. Nobody knew how to market it. It was so different than anything they had ever done.
Did it come out as a Halloween movie or a Christmas movie back then?
I don't even remember, but I know that they were massively confused, which makes sense. And to their credit, they realized years later that this thing had developed this cult following, and it was actually growing. And it was actually when Tim and I went to Tokyo for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and we saw Nightmare merchandise everywhere we went, every toy store.
That had to be so shocking.
And Tim was like, I've never seen most of this stuff. And Disney got involved again. And I'll tell you, a lot of companies just wouldn't have the... They go, no, 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 we did that. It happened. It's over. But they really picked up the ball. And now we know what it is. Now we know what to do with it. And they started re-releasing it, and they really got behind it. So it's just, there are so few movies that ever gets a second life.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, there's a few like Donnie Darko or maybe Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's just very, very rare.
Yeah.
So I was really sad when it came out and it just kind of came and went very quickly, because I'd put so much work, because even though the songs went easy, I'd still worked on it for over 2 years,
right,
between when it was started and finished. And that
must happen to you a lot, though, because you're not responsible for how good or bad the movie is. You've done great scores for films that turned out to not, reach a wide audience.
I'm used to, spending forever a ton of effort on a movie that's gone in a weekend, you know. But this one with the songs and everything else and producing the music over such a period of time, going back in constantly and re-updating vocals and changing things to, you know, for Henry Selick in the picture, I was much more attached to the
Usual.
It's what happens in animation. And I feel really lucky with Nightmare that it just kind of got a revived life.
Did you have to call Disney and say, hey, there's something going on here? Or did they just sort of see it themselves?
Well, I don't know if Tim and Disney had conversations. I think they just picked up on it.
You do?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And it is amazing. It's just very lucky and rare.
Are they incorporating any Nightmare Before Christmas stuff into the theme parks?
Oh, yes.
Well, Disneyland, the Haunted Mansion, becomes a big Nightmare Jack Skellington kind of thing. It's
all
great.
Jack all the time.
Yeah.
Just walking all around.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite times at Disneyland.
They really do, and they've got merchandising out. I think they've really done a good job in kind of like...
But you don't go because you worked on it.
No, I've gone.
You have gone.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Well, you hated every minute of it, right?
No. I mean, that was different because that was a whole different thing. And I love the Haunted Mansion, and I really wanted to see what did they do to the Haunted Mansion to kind of nightmarize it. It wasn't like listening to a score. It was really just seeing something totally different. And I was really curious, and I took my son, and, you know.
That's very awesome. Cool to see something that iconic change for you.
Yeah, it's amazing that they can change it over like that and change it back. I mean, it's not like just take about one day, flip it over.
Right.
It's a little more involved than that. Yeah.
The full orchestra and choir is going to be there. You have some special guests joining you again this year from the film as well, Danny?
Well, Catherine O'Hara, of course, playing Sally. Ken Page doing his Oogie Boogie. And even in the background singers that are joining us, there are some members of the original cast.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's great. All right. October 26th, October 27th. Tickets are going on sale to the public this Saturday at 10 a.m. However, K-Rock Street Team members, as you know, you get that pre-sale for free. Just go to krock.com for all the details. You'll be able to buy tickets on Friday, September 7th, for two shows that will sell out at the Hollywood Bowl this October. All right. Anything else you want to share with us, Danny, before we let you go? Thank you, Danny.
You're welcome.
We enjoyed it.
It's always fun to have you in.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
The Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
You guys remember the Danny Elfman times?
Yeah.
Who's better than Danny Elfman?
He's a great dude.
Zero people?
The level of success he had in two different forms of music, though, is what's remarkable. And we didn't even get a chance to get into it.
Looks back and says, I don't see that as good.
Not happy with any of it. Right, exactly. And we didn't even get a chance to get into it, but now he's writing like concertos and things like that. And
same.
Yeah, for orchestras and everything. So he's going to end up being a great classical composer in addition to. So he's incredible. Hey, congratulations to Joanna Chavez from Anaheim. She won the tickets for the Florence and the Machine show coming up at the Hollywood Bowl on September 26th. She has also qualified for a VIP trip to Life is Beautiful in downtown Las Vegas. Hey, look for Kevin when you're there. That includes round-trip airfare on Jet Suite X and hotel. We've got them for you every hour, all day long, all week long, from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. if you love Florence like we do. All right, Allie's here with our final look at what's happening on a Tuesday.
So this is just bizarre. Some Twitter guy
wrote to Steve Guttenberg and said, hey, please film another installment of Police Academy and do it in London. To which Guttenberg responded, Adam, the next Police Academy is coming. No details yet, but it's in a gift bag being readied. No one knows if he's telling the truth, if he's just pulling his leg, because the last film released in the series was in 1994.
Yeah, who's...
Police Academy Mission to Moscow.
And who's heard of that, first of all?
Yep.
And that second of all, yeah. Who's waiting for another one?
Adam. That's there.
That's weird.
There are seven films in the franchise, by the way. The first one released in 84. And like I said, last one, 94.
I would be stunned if you could get Bobcat to even revisit the world of Police Academy.
Really?
Well, because he's so successful as a director and does so little acting and whatnot. He's just moved on, I think, from that world.
But I feel like that's where you first got to know him. And Michael Winslow, I mean, what's he doing?
Right.
Making cool sounds with his mouth hole. Let's get him all back.
Wasn't there a horse, too? Wasn't there a horse in the original series as well?
Honestly, I don't remember.
I don't either. Yeah.
Because that horse, I mean, he's got to be getting up there.
Right. Are you thinking about getting the original horse back? That's what we're going to?
Yes, I thought we were getting the band back together.
The horse is getting old. We got to move.
Was there a cat? One of them had a cat. Did one have a cat? But Bean.
Oh, Bubba Smith was Moses Hightower in those movies, remember?
Bubba Smith.
Oh, this has to happen now.
See, now you're in.
Now I'm in.
Screw the horse.
No, don't ever say that.
Oh, well, I wouldn't say that. And if you're wondering about Crazy Rich Asians, did they do it good again for the third weekend at the box office? Well, yeah, they won it again with an estimated 22.2 million in sales. That's just Friday through Sunday, but it was a three-day weekend. So you factor in Monday's holiday crowds, they won it easily with about 28 million. That movie is...
That's fantastic.
Doing great. People are
digging it. I read earlier that it is the highest grossing romantic comedy in 9 years or something like that.
Oh.
I mean, it's really huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming in at number two, The Meg with 10.5 million, followed by Tom Cruise's latest Mission Impossible Fallout. That was number three with 7 million. And then at number four, Operation Finale. I don't... No,
what is that, Kevin?
That is the Jewish people tracking down...
Oh, with, what's his face?
Adolf
Oscar Isaac.
Eichmann. Yes, Oscar Isaac, yes.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
that's
man.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really funny because...
because
my friend tweeted something over the weekend that made me laugh so hard, and it has to do with that movie. My friend Leslie Grossman
tweeted. Your friend have tweeted that made you laugh so hard about
that hilarious movie about tracking down Nazis?
She wrote, Oscar Isaac playing a Nazi hunter is a very specific kink for a Jewish woman.
That's funny.
That's
I
want to
see this. Isn't this the one where Ben Kingsley maybe?
I saw it, yes. It's Ben
Kingsley.
Oh,
you saw it.
Okay. Yeah, I saw it this weekend. How do you think I have any of that information on the top of my head?
I thought it was odd. I thought it was real odd, but this just doesn't seem like a movie you'd see.
It's just I was in the mood for it. I don't know.
All right.
You're in the mood for some Nazi hunting?
That's really a weird,
you know,
I know.
Kevin
look.
Gets.
I don't know. I don't want to live in a world where Kevin goes to see a smart movie instead of The Meg,
this
by the way.
This is very weird.
Was it opposite weekend?
Must have been.
What is happening,
Shut
really?
Up, Chip.
It's
it looked
bizarre.
Good. It
okay,
just looked
okay.
good. I hadn't heard about it, and I saw the trailer and it looked
right.
good. That's all.
Was it heavy?
Yes, but not incredibly.
Yeah. How hot was Oscar Isaac?
He's always hot, right?
Man. Good
right,
Lord.
So it sounds like Kevin will allow it.
That's a good
right.
movie.
Well, good. Yes, we.
You guys suck it.
I don't think that's necessary.
Okay.
I mean, you suck it. You still haven't seen The Meg. We count on you to see The Meg.
I know.
Have you seen the previews for the other Oscar Isaacs movie?
I don't know what that is.
Life Itself.
No.
It's the creator of This Is Us.
Oh.
I'm just saying, watch the preview and hold on to your butt.
I just realized I do not know this bitch.
Okay. Oh, all right. Concerning.
You hold on to your butt?
Just hold on to your butt watching that preview, because you're going to sob at a preview.
Okay.
At least I did, which isn't shocking.
It.
He gets it. Hey, Kevin, we haven't had much Prince Harry, Meghan Markle news in a bit. Would it interest you to know that they have adopted a dog, a Labrador retriever, and we finally know its name?
Now, does this qualify as being part of the
royal wedding?
I don't think so.
Don't
it's not about the
so.
Wedding.
Too
yeah.
far past that? Okay.
Yeah. Plus, they already have Meghan's beagle guy that came to London. Mm-hmm. So they have a dog already, but they have adopted a Labrador.
And the Labrador's name is?
Count Smoky Love.
Nope. Very close,
like,
though.
Larry.
No.
It'd be funny if they picked a comedy name.
Senor Grande.
Senor Grande.
Rats, no. Gabies.
That's just a weird name for a dog. D's Nuts. Nope.
Come on.
They heard a tornado.
Nope. Would you like to know the dog's name?
Yeah, sure.
The dog's name...
Don't really care about that.
...is Oz.
Oz.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right, that's a great update.
Thank
Keep them
you.
Coming.
Hey, Dolly Parton is going to be the Music Cares Person of the Year at the Grammys in February. She'll be the first country western star ever to win the prestigious music industry honor. Past winners... Sir Paul McCartney, Bruce Springsteen, Bob Dylan, Stevie Wonder, Billy Joel, Paul Simon, Aretha Franklin.
Wow, that's quite a list.
Yeah, last year, Fleetwood Mac. So she is in good company. However, a Recording Academy spokeswoman could not confirm the selection, saying nothing has been finalized. So if this news is out there and it's not her, that sucks, right? What if they're
that
like, it's so not Dolly Parton? That would just be sad.
She has done so well. She's always done a lot for charity, but this last couple of years, she has really stepped up. Remember when she paid to take care of all those people who lost their homes in those fires in Tennessee and everything?
Yes.
I mean, she really gives a lot back. So I think she sounds like an excellent choice.
She is an amazing woman.
For
and
sure.
I do love that she always says it takes a lot of money to look this cheap. And her quote, if I see something sagging or dragging, I'm going to have it nip, tucked, or sucked. I love her. That's not, she just meant.
That's a woman for you.
Surgery. Right? Surgery.
Oh.
Wise. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Some birthdays for you. Damon Wayans, Whitney Cummings, Max Greenfield, Beyoncé Knowles, Dr. Drew, James Bay, and Mark Ronson. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, LA. And you drive home today. Listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, random act of helpfulness in the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We didn't have time today for weird phobias, so we're going to do that tomorrow. And also the Colin Kaepernick Nike thing. Have you guys ever destroyed your clothes? Set them on fire, cut them.
Because I've just been so mad
just
at
so
something.
Angry. Have you ever
That's
done
a
that
protest
for anything?
That I ever destroyed my own stuff?
Yes, for any reason.
I don't think so.
Seems odd, right?
When Wes Welker was traded to, I believe it was the Broncos way back when,
mm-hmm.
I put out a picture of my Wes Welker jersey.
Picture of it.
I had dried flowers. I had a bottle of Jack. And then I had a candle. And it was just kind of like a shrine to him. But I didn't burn it. I lifted him up as a little man. You go, Wes. You get your wings. He didn't die, right?
No.
No.
And also take us to Florence and the Machine at the Hollywood Bowl as well tomorrow morning.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.